This Christmas morning, Christ is where you are right now, and He wants to bring healing to your life and strength through your life, and He wants to give you a vision for your life.
Merry Christmas. It's Sunday, December 25th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. The title of the message is Christ, Our High Priest. Our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, and Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, I'll be short this Sunday morning. It's Christmas, and I need to go and open up a couple of presents that... So I don't know what's in there. I wanted to sneak in and rip up those packages, but I'm a pastor. I can't do that. So I can wish it, but I can't act on it, you know. So, well, Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 gives us a sequence to what we said last week. How wonderful it is to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. And here He is being encountered by the so-called three wise men. Let's read Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stooped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Verse 11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God bless the reading of His word. And when you encounter the Lord, you will return differently. So here we have the story of the wise men on the way to Bethlehem, and they find Jesus there. And a lot of studies have been done regarding that star guiding the wise men. And there's poetry involved in here, but the fact of the matter is that, yes, the star guided them to where Jesus had been born. Several traditions are attached to the wise men. Did you know that in the early days, tradition said that there were 12 wise men? And then it became, as it went through, then they numbered it down to 3 wise men. And now that's usually what is traditional, because there is a correlation between the 3 gifts that they gave and 3 people that came. So it's a threefold gift which they brought. So we say today, 3 wise men. Then legend made them kings, 3 wise kings. It gets better, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, it does. And then somebody decided that they should have a name. And so the 3 have a name, Caspar, Melchor, and Belshazzar. I don't know where that came from. It's not in the text, but people make things up like that. And then somebody said there ought to be some characteristics to this 3 wise men. And so Melchor was the old man. And they said he had gray hair, long beard, and he's the one that brought the gift of gold. Then tradition continued and said the second one was Caspar. He was a young one without any beard yet because it wasn't growing. That's something like that anyway. And he's the one that brought the gift of frankincense. And then Belshazzar was the one who had not made up his mind as to where he stood on time, but he was the one who brought the gift of myrrh. All of these are traditions that are attached to one fact, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And we can attach a lot of things to our belief, but when you try to bring it down to an area, you find the reality that indeed Christ was born. And when I think about your story and how you encountered Christ in your life, it's different from somebody else. Not because your difference makes it untrustworthy or fake or false, but because we're all come to Christ in different ways and in different roads. and we attach the meaning of Christ in our lives to suit us, because that's who we are. Because Christ has to be personal. In order for him to make any effect in your life, you must appropriate Christ to your own life. We see that in the gifts that they gave, it's very fitting, because each gift represents something that Jesus Christ matched or did in this earth. The first gift was, of course, the gift for a king, which is gold. And it is gold, it's for the king. Seneca said that the custom is that you could never approach a king without a gift. And of all the medals, gold was the king of medals and is the only real gift for a king. So Jesus was the man born to be king. But he was not going to reign by force, but by love. He was not going to rule over the human hearts in ways in which the world does. He was not going to rule from a throne, but from a cross. This different king altogether. But he is a king. He was born a king. And you may find this intriguing, but I'm telling you, you and I can never meet Jesus on equal terms, because he is the king and we are subjects of the king. We have to meet him in complete submission to him and to simply say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, I'm here to serve you. That's Jesus, the king. Don't ever forget, Jesus is king. He's not a peasant. He's a king. He is in charge. We're not. Of course, nobody said amen, but before you can be a friend with Christ, you have to submit to Christ. You have to come to him and say, Lord, forgive my sins. You have to come to him and say, Lord, I want you to work in my life. You have to be submissive to him. People don't want that. People want to be their own kings, and so be it. But until you don't submit to Christ the king, he will never be your friend. Well, let me move on. Frankincense is the second gift that was given, and that's the gift of a priest, or for a priest. Frankincense was the sweet perfume that we used in the temple, and that's how they worship the Lord. And the word for priest in Latin means bridge builder. And the priest is one who actually makes or builds a bridge between human beings and God. That bridge is Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus did. There's no way that you and I can get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the bridge. Jesus opened the door to God. He made it possible for you and me to enter into the very presence of God. I'll say more about that in a minute. But you need to know that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody else but Christ. He is the bridge builder. He is the one between one and the other. There's only one mediator between man and God, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. And then the third gift was myrrh, which is the gift for those who would die. Myrrh was used to embalm bodies of the dead. Unbelievable, but true. Christ was born to die. He came to this world to die. Let me read something to you. I could not commit it to memory, but let me read it to you. Holman Hunt, famous painter, painted a famous picture of Jesus. It shows Jesus at the door of the carpenter's shop in Nazareth. He is still only a boy and has come to the door to stretch his limbs, which have grown cramped over the bench. He stands there on the doorway with arms outstretched, and behind him on the wall, the setting sun throws his shadow, and it's the shadow of a cross. And in the background of this picture stands Mary, and she sees that shadow, and she understands the fear that will come upon Jesus. Let me just tell you, Jesus came into the world to live for men and women, but he also came into this world to die for them. He came to give us life because of his death. Jesus came to die for you and for me. His death on the cross was not useless or pointless because he died taking your sin and my sin. He dies because God loves us much. So gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, myrrh for the one who has to die. These were the gifts of the wise men given to baby Jesus. So even at the cradle of Christ, at the very beginning, we're foretold three things: that he was truly king. Truly king. He's the true king. King of kings and Lord of lords, later it will say in Revelations. Secondly, that he is the perfect high priest. And at the end, the supreme savior of the world. Amen. We've all talked about the importance of our allegiance to Christ the King and him being Lord of our lives. And we also speak much about Christ being our savior. But not much is said, and I will say it this Sunday morning, about him, Christ, being our perfect high priest, the bridge builder. How does he construct that bridge? How does that bridge construct it? How is it that he is the mediator between man and God? So for that, we have to go to another passage of Scripture that has to do very much with Christmas, because it's in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 4. We'll see it in the screen in just a second. And as we look at chapter 4 of Hebrews, we find out what really happened, what it means to be a high priest, Jesus, who was born in a manger. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. The Christmas message this morning is this verse 16, that we would approach the throne of grace with confidence, because in that approach to Christ, we will find grace and strength needed for the tasks that we have before us. Let me just say, Jesus Christ was born totally human, but he was also totally divine. That's the mystery. Yes, it's the mystery. It's exactly what the scriptures claim. He is the God-man. He is totally God, and he's totally human. And this tells us about the passage we read in Hebrews, talks about him being divine, the deity of Christ. It shows us how much he is. It says that he passed through the heavens. In other words, it's so huge and so big was Christ that he went through the heavens, and heavens means not only just the earth as we see the heavens, but the place where God dwells. He went through that. In other words, there's a royalty to Jesus that ascends him to the very heavens. Heavens could not contain him. It's not big enough. He goes through the heavens, the magnificent deity of Christ, Christ who is God himself. Heaven cannot hold him, so he was through them. The stressing of Jesus' divinity is all through the scripture. And then he says also in Hebrews that Christ understands us very well because he went through every temptation known to man, except he emerged sinless. Here is the high priest of our confession, totally God, but also totally human. Jesus knew and knows all the things that sin can do to you and to me. He knows the depths of your depression. He knows the depths of your despair. He knows the questions you have. He knows your struggle. He knows your issues. He knows who you are. He understands you. He understands you. He knows the depths of your pain. He knows the tensions that you go through in life. He knows the assaults of temptation. He knows your battles. He knows your anguish. He knows it in ways in which we will never be able to really know, because he went through that deeper than we ever are able to go through. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to battle and suffered as a man, and he also suffered as a God would suffer. And so when you read the scriptures and you come to God in prayer and you want him to help you in the issues that you face this Christmas day, you need to know that Christ went through that victoriously, that he's gone through every pain that you today confess, every terror, every surprise, everything that's gone wrong. He went through it. He was tempted. He was tried in everything in our lives. And yet, the temptation that Christ experienced in this world was greater than we could ever ourselves personally be able to understand. Because, see, we're born in sin, and we're prone to sin. But Christ was not born in sin. And when he faced temptation for the first time, it was absolutely one of the most catastrophic events that he had to, yes, overcome, and he did. And he overcame a temptation, and in Matthew we find it when he enters into the desert after 40 days of fasting and prayer, and the devil comes to him and tries to trick him, tries to use his moment of weakness and try to change that around so that he would flunk, he would fail the temptation, and he would become part of a lost creation. I am saying to you and to me that the agonies of pain that Jesus felt cannot be understood by our agony and pain, but certainly our agony and pain is sufficient for us to call upon God and wonder if he cares, wonder if he's there. But yes, he cares, and he is there. When Jesus faced temptation, he overcame. Everything that came at him, he overcame. But when we face temptation, when we face temptations, and the word temptation can be trials, when we face trials, we easily collapse. And we find ourselves down in the dumps. And we find ourselves as failures. We feel failed. We feel that we have done wrong things in life. But Jesus, the Son of God, went to the limit of temptation and far beyond, and he did not collapse. We collapse, but he doesn't collapse. Sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I wake up and I feel collapsed. I ask myself the question, what happened? You can't do it on your own, my brother, my sister. I cannot do it on my own. I have to rely on the Lord. I'm not a finished product. Oh, God has done a work in my life, but I'm still surrounded with the pressures of a sinful world. And I have a carnal nature that wrestles against me and fights me. And this struggle goes on and goes on. And when I find that I've done things in my life that should not be there, and I feel this collapse, I remember that Jesus Christ went through the same thing, except he did not collapse. He did not collapse. Yes, we know that Jesus was tempted in all things, but it's also known that he was tempted unlike anybody else was tempted, and yet he survived. So because of what Christ did and how we feel, let me just say two things about this high priest of our confession, about this Christ born on Christmas Day, this little baby in a manger that received gifts, giving him an authenticity of what he was becoming and what the world will experience. The first thing is that Jesus has sympathy for you and for me. There is something that you and I need to understand, which is so often difficult for us to even catch. The Christian idea of God as loving you and me as a father is very difficult to catch and to process. As a matter of fact, when you look at the whole concept of God, the Stoics had a God that had no feelings, because they said if God really exists and he has feelings, he can be bribed. So God that we know is detached from all the feelings that can exist. And the Epicureans were in the same way. They felt that God had no place in there, that God was detached from everything and everyone. But when you come to the God of Christians, you find that God deliberately underwent human experience. And the Word became flesh. He became one of us. He identified himself with us, with you, with me, in your pain, in your anguish, in your questions, in your weakness, when you're baffled, when you don't have an answer. He, our God, has sympathy, because God can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We say that we need to pray, and the scripture says that before we ask, he answers, is because he's touched by the feelings of the issues that you feel. That's the prayer. Your very issue, the very fact that you feel and you sense, that is a prayer that comes from the innermost part of your life. Without you uttering a word, God knows. God knows. And we discover a God who cares. Who cares. Who actually cares. This is why this God of sympathy gives us what we all know as mercy. Mercy to you and to me. See, for me, mercy means God understands. God understands. Say no more. You try to explain it to God. You can't. I try to explain it. Why I feel collapsed. Why I feel, you know how you feel. By the way, you all look collapsed this morning. Some people live sheltered lives, you know. They feel like they've been protected from all temptations, and some people just want to huddle in a little holy place there, you know, somewhere lost in some convent somewhere. People who share or have shelter's lives can't understand why other people worry about other things, but can't understand why other people slip. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus did not live a sheltered life. Jesus did not say, I'm not going to hang around with the Samaritan woman. Jesus did not say, I'm not going to go with the sinners. Jesus did not say, I'm not going to go to that funeral. Jesus did not say, they're hungry, I'm going to go away. No. No. There's a God who has mercy because he understands, because he lived it. He went through it. He understands it. Somebody says, because God knows, he can forgive. Because God knows, he can sustain. It's easy for God to forgive because he's been there. Without sin, yet he's been there. And I don't know why you think no one understands you. Because God understands you. You don't have to explain much to him. All you need to do this morning is come with your misunderstandings and your confusion. And all you have to do is come and stand there in awe of the one who made you and heaven and earth, and see that he actually cares, and that he forgives, and that he restores. Mercy. But not only is he giving us mercy, making it easy for God to forgive because he knows where we've been and who we are, but this mercy gives us, God, the ability to do one more thing. It helps us. He helps us. He's able to help us. Yeah. He knows about your problem because he's gone through it. Think of it. The Lord has gone through what you are going through right now and more. But forget the more, just the what you're going through right now. He knows. He knows. He knows perfectly well. Because you see, before you got to where you are this morning, Jesus traveled there before you. He knows. And he wants to help. He's there to strengthen you, to forgive you, to show you the way out and the way in. We have a God who has been there. So in those mornings when I feel collapsed, in those mornings when I feel, I say to myself, the Lord was there too. And he's there. He's there. You know, the best person to give advice on a journey is speaking to someone who has already traveled that way. And as you go and you travel through life, you speak to Jesus, the great high priest of our confession, and he links you with God. And he shows you how life can be lived. God can help you and can help me because he knows it all. This is Christmas, and we spoke about Jesus in the manger and the gifts of the Magi and how he is the king and how he is the priest and how he is the savior of the world. But he is the priest. He intercedes for you and for me this very morning with the issues that are in your heart. Sometimes we don't know why. Sometimes, I think most of the time, we don't know why we're in the mess we're in. Sometimes we don't know why things come upon us. Sometimes we don't know what hit us. But he does. He's been there. This Christmas morning, Christ is where you are right now, and he wants to bring healing to your life and strength to your life. And it wants to give you a vision for your life. So to finish, to end, he is the high priest because he's perfectly God and perfectly one with us. He knows. He knows. I get shocked. I'm sure of you that he knows all about my life. Did you know that?
Yes, amen.
Thank you. Nothing like someone affirming the message from the congregation. But it's true. Let it sink in. God knows all about you. Amen. And he loves you.
Thank you.
And because he knows all about me, about you, he can give us sympathy. He understands. He gives us mercy. And he gives us power to move on. This is what the high priest of our confession is. He brings us before God. He is the bridge. When I come to Christ, he unites all the issues of my life with the issue resolver of the universe. He brings us together. And we live that way. So this morning, this Christmas morning, and with the gifts that I have to go open, probably be a tie. They'll give me ties. Just give me money, I'll go buy my own ties. You know, I almost brought a list of the 20 gifts I don't want to receive, but it was kind of late. It's all right. If you got one for me, I appreciate it. I'll wear it. You know. No, I won't. Anyway, the greatest gift this morning is that he is the high priest of your confession. No matter if you have a tie or not, or slippers. I don't wear slippers, but every year I get slippers. And every 2-3 years, the veterans get them. Give them away. Sorry, I don't like slippers. How many like slippers? I'll give them to you. Oh, you do? Oh, wonderful. All right, they're all yours. But you know what? I really need to find under that Christmas tree Christ that loves me. Amen. But more than that, that understands me and doesn't condemn me, but forgives me. So on those days that I wake up, you know, he's there. Sometimes the collapse takes a couple of days to go away. Sometimes the feeling of worthlessness or the feeling of, stays with me, but eventually goes away and is replaced with the strength and the giver, the vigor of the Lord. Yes, no announcement to say to you that I'm no longer 31 years old when I came to this church. Oh, dear God. All right, this is the time that I sit there and sing, "Those were their days. My love, we thought they never end." Yeah, they do end. And God has to give us the grace to face each one of our lives where we are. Some of you awfully young, you have the whole world ahead of you. Enjoy it. But let me just tell you one thing. Where you are, I was there once. And where I am, you will be. If you behave. No matter where you are in life, the high priest of our confession, the one who paid it all, is there to forgive us and to strengthen us. And God doesn't argue with us. When I come to him on the feeling of collapse and or disappointments or lack of strength, he doesn't come and say, "Hey, come on, don't you understand what you're coming with?" He doesn't argue. He just lets me vent. And at the end of the vent, he's there. Kind of says like, "What are you concerned about?" And he doesn't judge me. He doesn't put me down. He doesn't whip me. He loves me. He cares for me. He strengthens my resolve to love him even more. Well, so the last verse that we read was that in Matthew 2, that having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, the Magi, they returned to the country by another route. And I'm telling you, when you come to Christ, you will be warned and you will be given a new route to live. You'll go through a different way. No one remains the same when they encounter Christ. But church, for you, those of us who know the Lord, don't ever forget, he is Jesus the Savior, yes, but he's also the high priest of our confession. That we can go to him because he understands us. And that he's moved with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows about our pain. He knows about anxiousness. He knows about the question marks that we have. He knows about whys of our life. He doesn't condemn us. He sustains us. And he blesses. He gives us strength. And then one day, we're going to wake up in God's presence when time shall be no more. And we will be with him forever and ever. And Paul says that whatever we suffer through now is meaningless in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in his presence. So, yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Will you stand with me, please? As every head is bowed and we pray that Jesus will come to you in power and in strength. So, Lord, I pray in your name, in the name of Jesus, that every heart will turn to you and that you will show them how much you love and care. I pray for the church, for the brothers and sisters who are here, in their issues as they face today in Christmas. In any collapse, we pray for you to strengthen and to give us the resolve to serve you and to follow through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen.
Amen.
Lift those hands. Let's lift those hands. Thank you, Lord, for doing a work in my life and our hearts. And I bring to you, Lord, all of the issues that I'm facing, and you'll take care of them. You encourage me. Touch my body. How many need the Lord to touch your body? I said, Lord, make me 31 again. Fat chance. Not going to happen. I have to be happy with what I have now. Oh, Lord, take away my gray hair. Stay where it is. Oh, God, what will you do for me? I will give you power, all the power of the enemy. I will cause you to live victoriously every day with your body that is getting old and your gray hairs, but you live victoriously for me. That's what the Lord does. He comes and empowers your own circumstance and your own life so you can give all the glory and all the praise to Jesus Christ. All right, take us, Jeff.
I am the maker.
Everybody.
He formed my heart.
Think of it.
Before even time began, my life was in his hands.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. He knows. He knows my every thought.
Call the name of the Lord. Just call the name of the Lord. Lord, here I am, Lord. Visit my life, Lord. Show me in my heart your presence. Reassure my heart of your working. Reassure me of living. Reassure me of facing life with you. In Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, that was awful. Let's do it again. This is the day that the Lord has made. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas, everybody.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bb4square.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.